20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL, and you can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks for joining me today. Of course, we've got you covered 365 days a year for all things Green Bay Packers. And welcome in to those of you who are on YouTube to the brand new Pack-A-Day Studio, which is a Green Bay Packers locker room. We've got Tremont Williams, Charles Woodson, Nick Collins. We've got the jerseys hanging up, the helmets. Yes, it's real. It's not AI. It's not anything else. It's a real, legitimate locker room style background. Absolutely love it. Came up with the idea a while back, had to execute it. It could not have turned out any better in my head, you know, from what I had in my head. So super, super excited about it. I won't go into any more detail on that, especially for those of you who are on the audio side listening. My apologies. The one thing I will say is on the YouTube side, we have come a long way. I remember when people joked and asked if I was in prison because it was just me on a laptop, basically, I think it was just a laptop. With a blank wall, no lighting, no, you know, HD microphone, or like I have the Shure microphone, no HD camera, no anything. You're right. Like it was just a literal laptop and me getting in front of it on a blank white canvas and, you know, behind me, basically. That was it. So in a mostly short-ish period of time, we've gone from that to this. We've got the good camera. We've got the Shure microphone. We've got the mixer, the Rodecaster Pro 2, and now we've got the backdrop to go along with it. So thank you for bearing with me along the way. Just a real quick word of advice. For anybody that is looking to start a podcast or whatever the case may be, go and listen to our very first audio episode. It's interesting. Go and watch our very first video episode. It doesn't have to be perfect from day one. It's not perfect now. I would love to do more with graphics and things like that. You take steps incrementally to grow. If I tried to do all of this on day, I never would have started. I never, ever would have started. If you told me that I had to have all this lighting and a Rodecaster 2 and a Shure microphone and, you know, little lighting and a backdrop and I never would have started. It would have seemed too daunting. Start somewhere and then take little incremental steps along the way. And I hope to continue to grow. And thank you for bearing with me while I've made these upgrades and have made these changes throughout the course of time. But enough about me, enough about that. Shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Kyle Heim and Dylan, and also brand new Hall of Fame member, Carlo Delgado. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate you a ton. Those sort of things, by the way, the memberships, the liking, subscribing, the commenting, all of it, the super chats on YouTube, that helps us do cool things like this and do the backdrop and the better audio and the better video and everything like that. So thank you guys so much for signing up to become members. Just showing up, by the way, always enough. Never have to do anything more than that. Just even getting to be here talking Packers with you guys every single day is more than enough. And I cannot thank you enough for all of that. One bit of NFL news. We did learn that the NFL is officially going to open the season on a Wednesday. It will be the Seattle Seahawks hosting at home as Super Bowl champions on Wednesday. And then we've got the international game that's going to take place in Australia on Thursday, which is why they didn't do the Friday game, because Australia, it worked out better on Thursday, I think just because of travel and things like that. So they moved the opener one day in advance. I've seen people be like, oh, Wednesday, well, what do we do? Why is this way? If anything, all right, if anything, I think this actually makes a little more sense and it's kind of a little bit cooler. The season is one day sooner. We've had to wait. We're already waiting way too long, right? We get it one day sooner. That's awesome. I'm totally cool with that. I could see the complaints of just another money grab by the NFL if they were still doing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like, if they were still doing Friday, I'd be like, all right, this is maybe. But now there's going to probably be college. There's going to be college football on that Friday, right? So Wednesday, there probably was not going to be any college football. Not going to be any high school football. There probably will be high school football on that Friday. I know there will be. So I have no issue with this. If you're going to do Thursday and Friday, like you did with the international games in the past, the opener on Thursday, international Friday, and then the main kickoff Sunday and Monday. This to me is just a day earlier. It now doesn't interfere with college football and high school football on Friday. Doesn't affect anything on that Wednesday. And it's a day earlier. Sign me up. I have no problem with this whatsoever. Like I said, if it was like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I don't know that I care. I honestly don't. If it was going to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I don't think they need the competition with college football, but you told me kickoff weekend went like Wednesday through Monday. Awesome. I have no problem with that, but yeah, it will be Wednesday. There won't be a game on Friday apparently. And to me, it's the nothing conversation other than, again, we get football day earlier. I'm totally, totally cool with that. All right, let's get to our main topic for today. It is a way, 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 way too early 53-man roster prediction. Now, I'm actually going to correct myself right there because I am in no way, shape, or form making a 53-man roster prediction right now. Can you even imagine? Can you even possibly imagine trying to do a 53-man roster projection right now when they're probably still going to sign a free agent or two? It's probably in the value category, but a couple of players like that, we have no idea who they're going to draft. Imagine being like, yeah, here's who they're going to take at pick 52 and they'll make... I'm not trying to do that at all today. This is not predictive. This is looking at where a 53-man roster stands and with just kind of putting some blanks in there for rookies or maybe a free agent signing, what's missing, what still needs to be attacked, and how you kind of put a draft class together that would make sense. Do you want to go into the draft being like, well, we need one wide receiver, one tight end, one... No, that's not what you want to do. You want to let the board fall to you and you want to select the positions that are available that make sense the most, but you don't want to go into a shot, you know, the draft of the shopping list. Like, well, we've got to get this. That's a bad way to do things. An example of that, by the way, where Green Bay did do that, at least it very much seems so, was the Sean Clifford pick at quarterback. They needed to find a backup quarterback in that draft. They didn't have the money in that season to go out and purchase a veteran QB. And so their thinking was, we need to go get a backup quarterback in this draft somehow. And remember, there was that huge run on quarterbacks. And so they ended up having to take Sean Clifford, I think probably earlier than anybody wanted to take him, because they had to have a backup quarterback. He was probably one of their last draftable players on their board. And there was that huge run on QBs. And now you get to, you know, what was it, the fifth or sixth round? And you've got to draft Sean Clifford. And that's how you end up making mistakes in the draft. So I'm not saying that they necessarily want to do that, but it does give you an idea of what positions could still be filled, upgraded, etc. All right, let's start with quarterback. All I'm going to say here right now is Jordan Love is one. I'm going to project that they keep two quarterbacks and it'll be Jordan Love. And then TBD is number two. Could that be Desmond Ridder? Sure. Could it be a draft pick? Absolutely. Could it be a trade like a Will Levis or an Anthony Richardson? Sure. Could it be a veteran free agent signing like a Kirk Cousins or a Tyrod Taylor? Sure. I think there's a ton of things that are still on the table here. I think there will be competition. Could it just be Desmond Ridder who's on the team right now? Yeah, I think it could be. I don't think that's an ideal situation. There's probably worse. I like Desmond Ridder more than I like Sean Clifford as a rookie going into the backup quarterback situation. They've been in worse spots before. But in an ideal world, I think you'd probably still look at competition and upgrades to that backup quarterback position. Whether or not they can pull it off, that remains to be seen. But as of right now, my assumption is they will keep two quarterbacks. Jordan Love, of course, will be one. Who that other one is, choose your own adventure. I don't know. You probably don't know. Maybe odds are on Desmond Ridder at this point just by default, but I would guess that there's going to be some legitimate competition for that spot. Running back, I'm going to project that they keep three running backs, Josh Jacobs, Chris Brooks, and yes, I am going Marshawn Lloyd. Could Marshawn Lloyd have another injury in the long line of injuries? Sure. Could easily happen. Do I hope that Green Bay gives himself a contingency plan in the event that Marshawn Lloyd does get hurt again? Absolutely. But if Marshawn Lloyd somehow, by the grace of Lombardi, figures out a way to stay healthy, not only will he make this team, he will be the number two running back. I have zero question about that. And not only will he be the number two running back, you will see them utilize Marshawn Lloyd much more than they did Emmanuel Wilson or Chris Brooks or any other backup to Josh Jacobs to this point. He will get legitimate carries, legitimate touches, and legitimate opportunities in this offense. They have a Marshawn Lloyd package set up. They want to be able to utilize him. He can be a game breaker and a game changer and a playmaker for them. Not saying 20, 25 snaps per game or, you know, touches per game, but I do think you can get him 6 to 8 touches per game. And I think he'll make the most of it. So as of right now, Josh Jacobs, unquestioned running back one. I honestly think Chris Brooks is pretty close to an unquestioned running back three, honestly, just because of his pass protection ability. If they draft somebody and Marshawn Lloyd stays healthy, then it gets a little bit more iffy. But for the here and now, I think Brooks is going to be a three, and I think Marshawn Lloyd, if he can stay healthy, will be your running back two. If he can't, then they're going to have to fill that spot as well. Wide receiver, 7. I'm projecting they keep 7 wide receivers. Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Matthew Golden, Wicks, and Savion Williams. Dontavian Wicks and Savion Williams. I know we had the trade conversation earlier this week. I ultimately don't think they'll trade anybody. It's not impossible, especially when you get to cut down time too, or maybe even draft or post-draft. A swap of like a Dontavian Wicks for a corner or a Dontavian Wicks for a defensive lineman, I don't think it'll be Reed. I still don't think so, and I don't think it's going to be Watson. But a Wicks trade for a player that could help now at another position, I could see something like that happening. But for now, I'm going to say those 5 make it, unquestioned. I do think Sky Moore will make this team. We've had the conversation about Mecole Hardman. It's just another Mecole Hardman situation. Yes and no. Yes, Sky Moore is still going to have to make the team. That's just how it's going to work. But this is a significant guarantee in comparison to Mecole Hardman, who had pennies on the dollar to, you know, for guarantees. It is a $1 million guarantee for Sky Moore. Can you still cut him? Sure. Do you want to cut somebody after giving them a $1 million guarantee and have it just be gone? You would really prefer not to. It's generally not good business to do something like that. The $1 million guarantee tells me that they want and expect Sky Moore to make this team. Not a lock, but that would be the expectation. And I think he will make it. I think he'll make it as a number 6 wide receiver and as a kick returner and a punt returner. And then that leaves me one more spot with 7 wide receivers. They will draft somebody at this wide receiver position. I really do believe so. It's one of the positions that's actually deep in this draft. And I think they're going to be able to find somebody that they can plug in 2027 and just give them 2026 to develop. You go ahead to next year. Let's even say they re-sign Christian Watson, but Wicks and Reed end up leaving. You've got Watson, Golden, Savion Williams, and that's it. Now you have a 4th with whoever you pick this year. I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm willing to keep the 7th wide receiver to make that exactly happen. Is it a little bit overkill? Yes, especially with a certain corner that it can play wide receiver that I still have the 53, spoiler alert. But I think keeping the rookie on the team makes sense. And we talked about on the members Q&A, don't bother yourself with how many of each player they're keeping. Keep the best players that you have on your roster that you don't want to get claimed, and you can figure out the rest with roster call-ups from the practice squad and things like that if need be. So to me, 7 wide receivers are very much within the realm of possibility here. We'll be right back. Tight end, we keep 4. Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, Josh Wiley, and a rookie. This is an extremely deep tight end class. Even if they don't draft one, it wouldn't stun me if they found an undrafted free agent that could make it as a number 4 tight end, or maybe even a number 3 at a Josh Wiley. And if they draft somebody early at tight end, it wouldn't stun me if that player competed for the number 2 tight end spot. So I'm going to say Tucker Kraft coming back from injury will be good to go. Luke Musgrave stays for one more year. I think he'll leave next year. Then you got Josh Wiley, who they brought back for a year. I don't think that was on accident. I think that was on purpose. I think they want him to make the team. And I do think there'll be a rookie here as well. Hopefully somebody that can block a little bit to add to that room. I really wanted to find a way to keep 10 offensive linemen, but I'm going to go with 9. The starting 5, Jordan Morgan, Aaron Banks, Sean Ryan, Anthony Belton, and Zach Tom. Darian Kennard and Travis Glover as your sort of, I'll say in quotation marks, veteran backups. And then I think they're going to take 2 rookies. It wouldn't surprise me if it was a 3rd or 4th rounder, and then probably like a 6th or, you know, probably like a 6th rounder too. Something in that, you know, realm. Might be a little tough. The amount of draft picks they have are slim. They don't have a lot to work with. But if you could get a couple of rookies to come in and compete for those spots, I think that would be ideal. In this case, Jacob Monk, Donovan Jennings, those players don't make it. John Williams doesn't make it. And they go with the 2 rookies. Travis Glover and Darian Kennard, and probably one of the rookies would have to do the heavy lifting when it comes to backing up. And they probably need one of those rookies to be able to play immediately on the inside should a Sean Ryan go down. They don't have another backup center. Kennard can play inside a little bit. Glover can play inside a little bit, but they're going to need that backup center. That's going to be huge for them. Interior defensive line. I'm going to say they keep 6. Javon Hargrave, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, and Warren Brinson, the only 4 on the roster right now. And then I have a rookie and a TBD. Could be a, you know, DJ Reader that they signed at some point. Could be a draft pick, maybe at 52 or maybe in the 3rd round. But I do think they'll get a significant nose tackle somehow, some way. And I do think there'll be another rookie on top of that that fills out that defensive line group. Could it be a Calais Campbell, or could you look at free agency? Sure. But as of right now, I'll say Hargrave, Wyatt, Brooks, and Brinson are the 4 from the team that make it on the interior defensive line. Edge rusher, LVN, TBD, Baron Sorrell, Brenton Cox, and Colin Oliver. Could that TBD be Aaron Mosby? Yep. Could it be a rookie? I think so. And I think that might be where it is. It also could be a free agent signing post-draft or maybe even before then. I really am curious about that spot, though, because I kind of think they need somebody opposite LVN that's almost got some starting capabilities. Because in an ideal world, Baron Sorrell, Brenton Cox, and Colin Oliver would be your players coming off the bench. Of course, that is until Micah Parsons comes back and reclaims his spot. But for now, he starts on the physically unable to perform list. And that leaves you with LVN and some question marks. Is it LVN and Baron Sorrell, LVN and Brent Cox? How do you put that defensive end room together? I think they're one piece shy. Maybe they can find that in the draft, or maybe they do have to go free agency style. But one way or the other, it does feel like they really, truly, legitimately need one more player at that spot. Inside linebacker, still feels weird to call it that from all the years in the 4-3 recently, but inside linebacker, so I'm only going 4 here. Zaire Franklin, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyrone Hopper, Isaiah McDuffie. This is what I talked about before, to just keep your players that you don't want to cut, right? I think they'd love to have either Nick Neiman or Christian Welch, whoever wins that battle, on the 53. And I think it'll happen early in the season. But at cut down time, I think they'll cut both. I don't think either will get claimed. I think they'll stash both on the practice squad, call up Neiman for 3 weeks, call up Welch for 3 weeks. At that point, after 6 weeks, usually, there's going to be a spot that opens up and you can bring Neiman on, right? If not, then you're going to have to probably look elsewhere. Maybe Jamin Johnson gets that call up for another 3 weeks until that spot opens. Or maybe you have to release someone else to open up that spot for Neiman. But I still think one of Neiman or Welch will be active on game days almost every single week. But only 4 linebackers again: Zaire Franklin, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyrone Hopper, and Isaiah McDuffie. 6 corners: Keyshawn Nixon, Benjamin St. Juste, Carrington Valentine, Kamal Haddon, Bo Melton, and a rookie. That's what I'm projecting right now. Could it be 2 rookies and then Haddon and Melton have to battle it out for one last spot? Sure. Could be that. Could they change this up even more? Could there be a trade? Maybe. I'd like to see it changed a little bit more. Right now, this still feels like a very weak group to me. I don't have any faith in it. And I like Benjamin St. Juste quite a bit. I don't think Nixon is quite as bad as he's portrayed to be, even though he was those final few games of the season. Valentine, I don't know what to make of. His confidence is hit and miss. And sometimes he plays like he knows what's coming. He's phenomenal. Other times it just looks like he's lost out there and doesn't want to tackle. At this point, you have to kind of protect yourself and say, hey, I think we know what Carrington Valentine is at this point. It's just a Jekyll and Hyde experience. We don't know what Kamal Haddon is. We don't know what Bo Melton is as a DB. And whoever they draft or bring in, we don't know how they're going to fit in Green Bay either. This is the biggest mystery box and the position that I by far and away have probably the most hesitation and trepidation towards right now. Offensive line is there. Interior defensive line is there too until they get that nose tackle. But a part of me feels like they're going to get that guy. I feel more confident that they're going to get a nose tackle in there. They have to, right? I don't know how they couldn't. If they don't, then defensive tackle goes to my number one need, concern, issue, etc. For now, corner, you go against the Rams, Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. You know, you go against the Vikings with Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson with an actual real-life quarterback now. Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. There are some good wide receiver rooms, and I don't feel like any of the Green Bay corners can stop any of those players consistently. And that's scary. That's nerve-wracking. That's not where you want to be. Hopefully they can hit huge with whatever rookie they bring in. I don't care if it's in the second or the seventh or anything in between. They just better hit on it because that's a real position of opportunity right now. Safety, only going four. Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, and Ketana Ladapo. No need to fix anything. Zane Anderson's gone. Ketana Ladapo should get more opportunities. Somebody in chat asked me if Ketana Ladapo could legitimately be a slot option. On rundowns or early downs, yes. On obvious passing downs, no. That's not where you want him to be playing. Special teams, three players. Brandon McManus, Daniel Whelan, and Matt Orzech. Nobody else. They just gave $1 million roster bonus to Brandon McManus. I'd be stunned if he's going anywhere. That's who they want their kicker to be. So if you look at it, just to kind of recap the total roster, the 53, I did double check it. Two quarterbacks, Jordan Love and TBD. Three running backs, Jacobs, Lloyd, and Chris Brooks. Seven wide receivers, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Matthew Golden, Dontavian Wicks, Savion Williams, Sky Moore, and a rookie. Four tight ends, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, Josh Wiley, and a rookie. Nine offensive linemen, Jordan Morgan, Aaron Banks, Anthony Belton, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, Darren Kennard, Travis Glover, and two rookies. Six defensive linemen, Javon Hargrave, Devontae Wyatt, TBD, Carl Brooks, Warren Brinson, and a rookie. Edge, LVN, TBD, Baron Sorrell, Brenton Cox, and Colin Oliver. Corner, six of them, Keyshawn Nixon, Ben St. Juste, Carrington Valentine, Kamal Haddon, a rookie, and Bo Melton. Four safeties, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, and Ketana Ladapo. And three special teams players, Brandon McManus, Daniel Whelan, and Matt Orzech. Two players open on the physically unable to perform list. Knock on wood, hopefully those are the only two. I'd love if there were none, but Micah Parsons and Jordan Riley open up on the physically unable to perform list. Riley probably not going to be available until later in the season. If you get anything, it's a bonus. Micah Parsons, you're hoping to be back week four or five, or probably week five more likely. We'll see though. We'll see. That's going to be a big one. Where we had rookies slated in, wide receiver, tight end, two offensive linemen, an interior defensive lineman, and a corner. Gives you a rookie spot to spare. It's workable, right? Hopefully they can make something like that work. TBD, quarterback, maybe a rookie, maybe a free agent, trade, etc. Nose tackle, and edge rusher, that spot opposite LVN right now, until Micah gets back. Those are the three that I think you might need to fill a little bit more aggressively, either before, after, or during the draft, to make it that, because again, you just have too many spots otherwise. If you want to draft all those players, you just don't have the picks to do it. So I think trying to find solutions there, either again, ahead or right after the draft, that to me makes the most sense. They can't go into this feeling like, all right, we got to get a wide receiver, tight end, offensive lineman, interior defensive lineman, corner, quarterback, nose tackle, edge. Just too much, right? You probably need to go into this feeling like you either did or can address those positions elsewhere if need be once you get out of the draft. Players that ended up getting cut in this exercise, Jacob Monk, John Williams, Nasir Stackhouse, Jonathan Ford, Christian Welch, and Nick Neiman. Full expectation that they want Neiman to be on this team in some capacity, but they might have to stash him on the practice squad first. Just some interesting roster gymnastics here too. You know, if you're thinking of like, well, I want to keep a fifth safety, or what are you releasing in that situation? Maybe Bo Melton? Maybe Kamal Haddon? Okay. Maybe that seventh wide receiver, maybe Sky Moore has to get cut. Just don't have much room though. What if, you know, along the linebacker position, you want to keep Nick Neiman? Okay, great. I love Nick Neiman. I think that's worthwhile. But how are you going to make up for that? Again, maybe call Kamal Haddon, maybe Bo Melton. It's tight. It's tight. It's tight, and it also needs work all at the same time. Kind of know some players that probably aren't going to make it. We probably know a lot that are. But that those fringe roster players, that's what's going to be really interesting to keep an eye on this full offseason. Which players find a way to make it? Which ones step up? Which ones take a step back or ultimately get cut? It's going to be a fun offseason. Tell me what you think. What are they missing? What are they really missing? It's the same positions we talked about, right? Corner, defensive tackle, maybe a little bit better on the O-line. They can do those things. They can find some pieces. Whether it's a Rasul Douglas or a Trayvon Diggs, whether it's a, you know, veteran offensive lineman, could see something like that working. Or Calais Campbell along the defensive line. There are options out there. Kevin Zeitler on the offensive line. There are options for Green Bay. Same thing at quarterback. Which ones they take advantage of and which ones they wait for the draft. Probably everything at this point gets waited for the draft. But how they address those is going to be very, very interesting for Brian Gutekunst and company. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate you guys. Hope you enjoy the new digs. For those of you on YouTube, let me know what you think. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelstinkel, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hader Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch Zillertson, Large Charles, Jake Conner, Will Glass, Imperium Collectibles, and Carlo Delgado. See you guys tomorrow. Actually, I'll see you today, 4 p.m. Central Time, happy hour on Thursday this week. Thursday today, as you're listening to this, make sure to check that out as well. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.